Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Well, hey, what's up, everybody? Jordan Thigpen here with you today for an episode of Equip. Today, I want to talk about cultures of a connect group. Shout out to Morgan Nowak, gave me the idea for this episode. Today will not be a super long episode. I've really enjoyed hearing Brandon and Austin, then Morgan and Kate's different installments of different episodes of Equipped. I've really enjoyed having the different voices on Equipped, and I hope you have as well. But today I want to talk about just a few things that I think make for a healthy connect group culture. If you're listening from another church and whatever your small group effort is called, I would say this is maybe even true of Sunday schools. If your church has a Sunday school model, I think something about that smaller group environment, for us, we call those connect groups. I want to talk about the things that make for a healthy connect group culture. So moving forward, I'm just going to refer to it as connect groups, and you can apply that same idea to your context if you're not a Connection Church person. All right. If you want to talk about cultures of a healthy connect group, I'm going to start with two principles, and then we're going to go into several traits. The principles of a healthy connect group culture, the way to find the health of a connect group culture, the way to find a healthy connect group culture is upstream from culture. Probably would be helpful maybe if I started by defining culture. Culture is the atmosphere or the overall spirit of a team. It's the overall atmosphere and the overall spirit of any effort. So I would say a few things maybe that you would notice about Connection Church is that the overall culture that we try to create in the life of our church is one of service, one of where we actively try to serve people well. It's why our guest services looks the way that it looks. It's the reason our building looks the way that it looks. It's the reason that we have connect groups and not just Sunday school teachers. We wanted an emphasis on the culture of service. We wanted to serve people. It's evangelistic. That's another culture that we have. You would feel the evangelistic effort. You're going to see in our services where people have a chance to respond to the gospel and come forward and be saved. We regularly encourage people to share their faith. We celebrate baptisms because we care about evangelism. We care about people making a decision to follow Christ. And so that manifests itself in a culture of evangelism. Same thing with generosity. We realized that our culture of generosity was low, largely because what we looked at is tangibly, not a lot of people give. In the life of our church of 1,500 or so people attending, maybe around 300 people give consistently. Maybe 600 people give maybe once over the course of a year. But we're talking about a church that facilitates 1,500 people, not including kids, not including college students, on any given Sunday. And so our culture of generosity was low, so we've tried to increase our culture of generosity by talking about it more, by teaching it more, by modeling it more, because we want a culture, or in other words, we want the spirit of generosity, we want a spirit among our people and an atmosphere within our gathering that marks generosity. And then lastly, community. We want people to find community in our church. What we realize is that lots of people can attend a church service or even call a church their church without actually being really deeply known. So we model and encourage both the spirit and atmosphere of being known, and that culture is called community. So not to belabor the point, but culture is the overall spirit and the atmosphere of any given effort. So what is the overall culture that we're looking for with connect groups? What is a healthy connect group culture? That's what we're going to try to unpack now. And I have several traits that I want to go to, but here's the overall sort of two principles that I think are important in creating healthy connect group culture. I would say this: healthy leaders build healthy teams. Healthy leaders build healthy teams. The converse is also true. Unhealthy leaders are going to build unhealthy teams. Principle number two: healthy teams create healthy culture. So you can have a healthy leader, but if the team is unhealthy, it's going to manifest itself in a mix of unhealthy and healthy culture. But it takes a healthy leader and a healthy team to create a healthy culture. Jesus says it this way in the Gospels, right? A little bit of yeast leavens the whole loaf, right? A little bit of leaven leavens the whole loaf, right? I would say it this way, maybe in sort of my South Georgia understanding of things. If you had a steak and a piece of it was rotten, you wouldn't just cut that one piece off and eat the rest of it pretending like it's a healthy cut of meat. You would probably say, in the grand scheme of things, this is an unhealthy cut of meat. I would say more so, and that's, you know, every metaphor breaks down. I get it. Some of you are like, I'm definitely cutting off the unhealthy piece and I'm going to eat the rest of the steak. So don't press the metaphor too far. But observationally in organizational leadership, what I would say is until there's a healthy leader that's creating a healthy team, or that's leading a healthy team, that's building a healthy team, you're not going to have healthy culture. I would say this is really challenging in connect groups, because typically what you're doing is you're sending out a healthy new connect group leader, and they are assembling people into their atmosphere, and they're trying to create a healthy culture, but a lot of the times they're assembling people that maybe are struggling with different aspects of unhealth. And you got to think that's probably the case because they've not existed in community. They are new to community. They are now the new recipients of new leadership. They're now the new recipients of a new effort. And so it is the leader's opportunity to establish them in their team of community. Because a healthy leader builds a healthy team. Then together, a healthy team creates a healthy culture. But you got to get the team right before you can build culture. We've seen this with staff. Inevitably, if there's been times when there's been an unhealthy aspect of staff, it's resulted in sort of an unhealthy culture that then creates an unhealthy system. But like right now in the life of our church, things are rocking, they're rolling. We have as healthy of cultures as we've ever had, I would say. And it's because I think we have as healthy of a team as we've ever had. And it's because we have as healthy of a leader in Brandon that even over the years, when he has been consistently healthy, if the team has been unhealthy, then it's resulted in sort of an unhealthy culture. I only share that because in your workplace, I'm sure you can see that. That's not to say that even it's been when positions and staff people have changed. It's just that we go through seasons of unhealth sometimes, unhealthy expectations, difficult seasons at home, difficult seasons with transition to being parents. Like, I know for sure I am more healthy today than I was when I first was hired on here. I was a much younger pastor then. I had way less gray in my beard. We had just had our second child, and we were still sleepless. And now you guys know with Keller, we're still sort of sleepless. But it's getting a lot better, and I'm way healthier today. So that's not to say that necessarily even somebody has rotated out and we have new positions that leads to a healthier team. That is a direct principle you can apply to your group. Your group is not always going to get healthier just by removing some people and adding some people. We have a shepherd's responsibility to get to a healthy culture by ensuring that the people in our group are continuously becoming healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier. The expectation is not perfection. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that if there's something in your connect group that feels out of place, if there's something in your group that you're like, man, I don't know, something doesn't feel right here, it's probably because there is an unhealthy culture manifesting itself. Here's some examples. You could have a person that talks way too much. They are just biblical Bob. They have a out of context Bible answer for every single thing that's brought up in the group. Or they are on one side of the ping pong table and the rest of the group is on the other side of the ping pong table. And no matter what anyone else says, they've got to get that answer in there. They are going to respond in some way. It's like, you know, George tells a story, Bob's ping-ponging back. Bill tells a story, Bob's ping-ponging back. So-and-so tells a story, and it's just back and forth. And it's never like that's an unhealthy culture, right? They always have to insert themselves, and they always have to Tommy-top whatever story is being told, right? That's an unhealthy culture. And what you can do as the leader is invite that unhealthy person or team member that's creating an unhealthy culture in your group is to invite them in and lead them and teach them healthy group practices and dynamics. It's not that we don't want to hear from you, but did you notice that you spoke and answered whenever anybody says anything? I'd encourage you to listen. Something like that. You know, I can't troubleshoot every single scenario, but that would probably, from talking to a lot of you guys as Connect Group leaders, something that I've observed is that usually there's this atmosphere or this spirit at play in our groups that we're like, I don't like that. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel right. And I don't want it to be that way. Here's a simple one. Punctuality. It can be frustrating when we set a culture that being tardy is okay, being late is okay, being late is even normal. And you know, what can happen is the group gets later and later and later and later. And what happens is it gets more unsustainable and unsustainable and unsustainable and unsustainable. And that creates a culture where group and community can feel unfeasible. And then that leads to giving up, right? But if we help our team members understand the vision of what it means to be healthy, like, hey, other people have other commitments. We all have other time commitments. And, hey, we're going to get started. If the group starts at 6:30, we're going to get started at 6:30. And we're going to honor each other's time because this lady just had a baby. This family just had this situation. They're fighting hard to be in community. You can help us by being on time. I don't know if I could think of another example right off the top of my head. But what I would say about culture is it's probably for you the thing that you observe the most, right? You observe something that in your experience, in the spirit and atmosphere of your group that you either like or you don't like. I would say in spending time in the Connor Connect group recently, I did Multiply with the Connor group. Man, their spirit of family, oh, it's just amazing. It's so good. They have such love. They laugh. They cut up. They joke. They cry together. That is an extremely healthy dynamic in a group where we're not trying to rush past the awkward. They are just embracing like, hey, one of our teammates is hurting, and we're going to sit here with them. And they pressed into that moment. I just thought that was so healthy. They create such a great culture of family. You know, they have such a festive atmosphere as a group. They eat a meal together. They sacrifice a lot for one another. They have people that drive from completely different ends of Bullock County. Like, somebody can live all the way out in Stilson, and another person can live way over almost on sort of the west side of town over near, like, Forest Heights. And they'll drive all the way to, Hope You Like It, in order middle ground, to be able to have group together, and they'll just rotate, and they go all over the place. That's a culture of sacrifice for one another, right? Because they see that there's a great need for community. So, if you're listening and you're not from Statesboro, we actually have a place called Hope You Like It. It's fantastic. Best barbecue in town, in my opinion. Unless Dolan's wants to sponsor our podcast, then you got the best barbecue in town. So anyway, but I would say in general, overarching, there's a big principle to internalize, which is healthy leaders build healthy teams. So you, as a Connect Group leader, you have to start with, one, am I leading from a healthy place? Am I spending time with the Lord? I get this question a lot with Connect Groups. What's the next thing that we should go through as a group? My answer every time is just do the 4-12 reading plan and go through life's three transformational questions every time. That's my answer that you should do. And it's for this reason. The follow-up question is typically, well, then how do I prepare for that? Just spend time with the Lord every day. That is the best way for you to participate in the vision of Connect Groups. Now, I understand if you want to go start a Bible study, I wish 1,000 people in our church would go start a Bible study with people that don't know Christ and begin to invite them to accept the gospel and to pursue the things of the Lord. I'm all for it. But I'm also thinking through the lens of, we have 1,500 or so people that attend our church, and around 400 are in a group, and all of our groups are basically full. So what we need is a simple, reproducible model that invites people into community. There's a place to chew on the deep things of the Word. If you want to start a Bible study on the book of Daniel, if you want to start a Bible study on the book of Revelation, I know people that would be interested in being a part of that. But for a Connect group, the thing that people need is your authentic relationship with Christ. You, Connect Group leader, the healthiest thing you can do is have a genuine, authentic relationship with Christ and just lead out of the overflow of that. Your Connect Group needs to hear what God is not doing in your life just as much as they need to hear what God is doing in your life and to come alongside you as a leader. So, step one, principle number one, healthy leaders build healthy teams. So you need to be healthy, and you need to be able to identify what areas of unhealth exist in my group, and how can I begin to call people to health across my team. Now, what I would tell you, this is where it gets beautiful, is as that healthy team begins to grow and people begin to find pathways towards health, they together with you will build a healthy culture. Then that healthy culture will take areas of unhealth in other people's lives and will begin to call them towards health. This is where leadership begins to get exponential and beautiful, where if I can continue to pursue the Lord and I can get healthy as a leader and I can begin to fearlessly call people towards health in an atmosphere of love and grace, then as they partner with me in healthy community, we will create healthy culture. Principle number one, healthy leaders build healthy teams. Healthy teams, principle number two, healthy teams create healthy culture. But practically speaking, kind of wrapping up with this, what are some of the key traits of a healthy Connect Group culture? This is the big one. This trumps everything else, is love. That is the highest trait that we could have in our Connect Groups for health. go read 1 Corinthians. That's the standard. Paul says, if I have all wisdom, if I can speak in tongues, if I could have exponential hospitality, if I could do this, if I could do that, if I had any other gift, but I have not love, then I am nothing. I'm nothing but a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. We could have, for Jason Loy's Connect group, I love that they cook a wild game supper every Wednesday night for their Connect group. But that wild game supper would mean nothing if their group was not what it is, which is loving. They love young men that come in that feel beat down and feel far from Christ, and they love them right where they're at, and they speak the truth in love to them, and they call them into a relationship with Christ, and they have an incredible culture of love in that group. So traits of a healthy Connect group, the highest one is love. A few other practical ones, vulnerability. You will fight this in the early days and the early stages of planting a new Connect group. Vulnerability. You'll start a group and you'll be ready to pour your heart out. You'll be ready to dig into the Word. God will be showing you stuff and you get crickets. I know Josh and Lindsay Hall are going through this right now, that they're like, how do I get my group to engage? How do I get my group to be consistent? And it's the thing that I know Josh and Lindsay do the absolute best. They are vulnerable, real, authentic people. And that is going to have an exponential effect on the culture of that group over time as more and more members of their group continue to get healthy and get consistent in their following of the Lord. Vulnerability. I would say also confession and repentance. Create a culture where confessing your sin to one another and repenting around things that you're struggling with in your spiritual life, extremely important. Russ DeMott and Casey DeMott do this as good as I know anybody does it, where Russ will regularly pour out his heart in a place of vulnerability, but he's confessing sin, and he's actively asking them to hold him accountable to his repentance. Not just to say, man, oh God, I suck. I'm terrible. I'm horrible. But no, he's confessing things, and he's repenting and saying, guys, I want y'all to hold me accountable to this. That is a healthy leader inviting people to a healthy trait on his team, and it creates a healthy culture of confession and repentance. Truth. Truth is another trait that I think is invaluable in a Connect group. Love and truth are not in competition with one another. Jesus tells us to speak the truth in love. So we need to say it in a loving way, but we need to tell people the truth. We need to say true things to people in our community, and there's a way that we need to do that with wisdom. There's a way that we need to do that with all gentleness. But the verse is, correct everyone with all gentleness, but it's still correct them. And so we need to tell people the truth. That's what the purpose of community is. Here's another key trait that I would say is deference. An ability to defer to one another. So a lot of times group can feel like people are just talking over one another, that they're not actually listening to what other people are sharing, but they're just talking over and one-upping and going higher and going more, and especially in volume, right? A healthy group has the ability to defer to what someone else is saying and an ability to listen. A healthy group also is happy to defer to the leader of the group, to defer to their leadership, to embrace the position that God's placed them in as a leader and caretaker of their soul. Not that a Connect group leader is your pastor, not by any stretch of the imagination, but they do carry an under-shepherd responsibility under the care of me and our church that as pastors over our groups. They do carry a weight of shepherding. And so our groups should be able to create a culture of deference or an ability to defer to the leadership of the leader. For example, hey, we've talked this to death. I think it's something that we need to pray about, and we're going to move on. Or, hey, we're getting real close to getting kind of gossipy about this topic, I think we need to put a pin in that right there, and we need to move on to the next topic. We need to move on to the next question. Or, hey, person X, person Y, you've had a chance to share a lot. I want to hear from somebody else that hasn't had a chance to share tonight. And they defer to the leadership of the leader. That is a healthy dynamic. That's what they're there to do, is to facilitate the group, right? They're able to defer to the leader. But ultimately, the group needs to create an atmosphere and a spirit of deference to God's word. Not hot take on Instagram, not I read this in a blog, not I watched this on YouTube, or hey, I saw this celebrity said this, or whatever it might be. Whatever emotion, experience, or headline that we've seen, we need to be able to defer to God's word. I want our groups to be eager to say, okay, I hear what you're saying. Where can we find something about that in Scripture? We did that this past, at our group this past Tuesday. Becca asked an incredible question around what is the role of prophecy now in the New Testament? And, you know, I had no prep for this question, right? I had no prep as far as like going into the week thinking I was going to answer this question. But we just paused. I said, hey, everybody in the group, find what you can in Scripture about the word prophecy, and let's just look at it. Let's just take a second. And we wound up digging in. We went to Ephesians 4, where God gave prophets, evangelists, apostles, pastors, teachers. I think I said those out of order, but that's one place where it shows up. And then we went to 1 Corinthians 14, where what a New Testament prophecy, I'm not putting in quotes as if it's not real, it's just something, it clearly defines what prophecy is supposed to look like. And what we were able to pull out and defer is our experience of a lot of televangelists and YouTube fake pastor influencers that are foretelling events to come or trying to read the tea leaves of the future to foretell and call that prophecy, versus what we see in the New Testament is forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H, telling about an encouragement that they see in someone, an exhortation, something that is edifying to the person. That is the 1 Corinthians 14 definition of prophecy. They're speaking life over that person. Now that begins to get a lot clearer, right? When we try to think about, oh God, yeah, I do know somebody they are unusually encouraging. They are unusually edifying in my life. They have a prophetic gift. They don't hold the office of prophet. They are just very encouraging. They have a prophetic nature in they say the word that I need to hear at the right time and in the right way, and I receive it. That's a New Testament definition of prophecy. But we as a group, we had to set aside a lot of our experiences of like, oh, well, what about, you know, whoever? I'm not going to name a bunch of names, mostly because I'm drawing a blank or I'd say it. But these different people that are trying to foretell of God's going to bring you a Maserati or whatever it might be, that's a fake, unbiblical, and I would even say demonic dimension of prophecy, that we have to defer to God's word and let him define our realities as opposed to letting our experiences define our realities. That's a healthy trait of a connect group, is that we would defer to each other, defer to the leader, and ultimately defer to God's word. Ultimately, the traits that we call all connect group leaders to that we set out as our three key aspects of groups is growth, care, and mission. That's the things that we highlight the most for our connect group leaders, that we want them to focus on creating a culture of growth, of care, and of mission. The best place for growth and care to happen is as you pursue a common mission. So here's what I mean. in doing Multiply with the Connor group, with the DeMott group, with different groups the last several times that I've done them, a lot of times the question is there an ideal number for a group? What I would say is that there is. I think so. I think it is growing a group to the size that indicates its health, and we usually shoot for 8 to 12 people. There's a number of reasons why it could be less. There's a number of reasons it could be more. To me, if it's less, I want to ask a question around the culture of hospitality that that group is creating. Do you have an ability to create space for more and more people? Or if it gets to be more, I think it's an indicator that it's so healthy that it needs to multiply, right? That you can't sustain a group, in my opinion, of 16, 18, 20 people and people be deeply known and people deeply grow into the likeness of Christ. So we want to create an atmosphere of growth, of care, of mission. We want people to grow evangelistically. We want people to grow in their desire to serve. We want people to embrace the mission of God more personally. That's all. Mission is an incredible trait that all of our groups, I want to continue to grow, including my group, to grow in an ability to to embody. Encourage people to go on short-term mission trips. Encourage people to be missional in their workplace. Encourage people to be missional to their neighbors, to their family, to their kids, to live out the mission of God in all their areas of influence. Lastly, the last trait I would say is that I think groups have an incredible opportunity to embody the trait of leadership development. So for our groups, I empower all of our Connect Group leaders to identify a Connect Group co-leader. It's a little more difficult when you have a couple dynamic, and because you already have, you know, husband, wife, sort of leader, not just like leader, co-leader, but you have like leader. But for that, I still would say you need a couple to be your co-leader that you can count on, because you're not going to be healthy 52 out of 52 weeks. You're going to have some type of a sickness. Your kids are going to have some type of a sickness. So, and two, that fits with our overall vision that Connect groups are a thing that need to multiply. We need our groups to multiply. We need more groups to produce healthy leaders. Now this comes full circle. Healthy leaders build healthy teams. Healthy teams create healthy culture. I need our groups to create a culture of multiplication, that we more and more normalize raising up a healthy leader and sending them out to go and plant a new Connect group. I know in the past that the culture of multiplication has been, let's grow our group to 16, cut it in half, and we'll see which parent gets which kids in the divorce. I want that culture to be gone. I don't want that culture in our small group effort. The healthy way I have all of this in writing. I have all of this in steps that for our groups that they are able to follow. But the healthy thing to do is to be a healthy leader that builds a healthy team, that creates a healthy culture, and let that culture then call out through leadership development another healthy leader from the prompting of God to go and plant a new Connect group. That's the flow of how that should go. We're not trying to manipulate anyone into going and planting a group. We're not trying to use means of guilt to open up a group of grace, right? That's not the way the Lord works. We're not we're not even trying to plant as many groups as we can, because we could use means of guilt and we could use our knowledge and understanding to do that. But we want to wait on the moving of the Lord to create that culture in the life of our church, and then to put that in the heart of a follower of Jesus to move them out to go and plant a new group. That's when I say I go to people's groups and I do multiply, that's what I mean. I go and teach that exact principle, and we play it out through the book of Acts, chapters 1-8, something that Buck Benton taught me to do that I think is just really, really great. But that's the last, and I would say maybe one of the most important traits in our groups right now is leadership development. I said this the last time I taught multiply. Every problem that you could bring up or identify in a small group can be solved through leadership. I really genuinely believe that. There's no problem there's no problem that you could bring up to me that a leader does not solve. Somebody talks too much, no one talks at all. Somebody is harmful in the group, somebody's hurting in the group, whatever it might be. There's no issue that you could bring up that some aspect of a healthy leader does not solve. Therefore, how much more exponential will health be if healthy leaders are leading healthy teams that is creating a healthy culture that's then developing more healthy leaders? So that's cultures of a connect group, cultures of a healthy connect group. Healthy leaders build healthy teams. Healthy teams create healthy culture. That's your two principles that I would encourage you most with trying to create a healthy connect group culture. You got to have a healthy leader that builds a healthy team, and that team together will build a healthy culture. But there's lots of traits of a healthy group. Love, serving one another, living on mission together, leadership development, deference, authenticity and vulnerability, confession and repentance. There's lots of traits that you can find, but those two principles will take you a long way. Love you guys. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you in the next episode.